Good morning, and welcome to you all, whoever you are. This morning, our service is given by Ken Bartlett, and we thank him for that. Pastoral news, we need to say congratulations to Rosette, who isn't here this morning, but on the birth of her grandchild, number four, a boy to her son Joshua and his partner Alex. That's wonderful news. A reminder that Josie Cheetham's funeral will take place tomorrow at Kingston Crematorium at 11 o'clock. Two events. It's Messy Church tomorrow at 3:30. All ready? All prepared? Yep, wonderful. Oh, and let's say hello to Sally, who's back from her holiday. And the open gardens this Saturday will be at Myrtle's. Can you raise your hand, Myrtle? Thank you. Because it would be lovely if people came. I have some newsletters from Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness, which I would like to distribute. So do let me know that you'd like them. And finally, you may have noticed that there's a change in the pulpit folds. That's these beautiful things here. The beautiful cloths that are in front of the pulpits. These were made by a talented member of our church, Sojin. And I'd like to thank her on behalf of the church for sharing her skills so magnificently with us. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Technical problems overcome. Let's commence our service by joining together in the words of Psalm 21, which is at number 725 in the hymn book. And we'll say it all together, disregarding the light and heavy prints. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. So coming in from this time forth forevermore. We join to sing Praise to the living God. In a moment, we'll follow the promptings on the screen, but I'm going to begin with a prayer written by Janine Goddard for this service. I read to a few elders, and I thought that it would be good if we could all hear it. So here is the prayer that Janine wrote. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship with you at its heart. Help us to find in word and song, in silence and meditation, renewed hope and faith. Help us to shed and leave behind those attitudes, obsessions, and distractions which come between your blessing and our need. Speak to us that we may find insight, forgiveness, and freedom, may find fulfillment and growth as part of your church, and carry your love into a needy world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. We join in the words on the screen. Almighty God, We join in this prayer. God our Father, we have sinned word and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbour as ourselves. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not perish, but have eternal life. To all who repent and believe, we declare in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God grants you the forgiveness of your sins. Thanks be to God. We shouldn't simply allow the children to go out without noting that they were here and that people give time and care to their teaching, and hopefully they'll come back later in the service. So let's just pray that God's guidance will be with those who teach our children, and to thank them for the time that they give in preparing to teach them. They meet regularly apart from this in order to prepare what they have to say. Glyn Robinson is going to read our first lesson, which is from Jeremiah.
The reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. How terrible will be the Lord's judgment on those rulers who destroy and scatter his people. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the rulers who were supposed to take care of his people. You have not taken care of my people. You have scattered them and driven them away. Now I am going to punish you for the evil you have done. I will gather the rest of my people from the countries where I have scattered them, and I will bring them back to their homeland. They will have many children and increase in number. I will appoint rulers to take care of them. My people will no longer be afraid or terrified, and I will not punish them again. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will choose as king a righteous descendant of David. That king will rule wisely and do what is right and just throughout the land. When he is king, the people of Judah will be safe, and the people of Israel will live in peace. He will be called the Lord, our salvation."
We join to sing a hymn which reflects on how God's Spirit moves us from a world of dark and then with creative power comes to give new life. This is "Into a World of Dark, Waste and Disordered Space, He Came, a Wind That Moved Across the Water's Face."
Thank you.
Alistair Borthwick is going to read our second two lessons, the first from Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 11. You Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by the Jews, who call themselves the circumcised, which refers to what men do to their bodies. Remember what you were in the past. At that time, you were apart from Christ. You were foreigners and did not belong to God's chosen people. You had no part in the covenants which were based on God's promises to his people. And you lived in this world without hope and without God. But now, in union with Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the sacrificial death of Christ. For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies. He abolished the Jewish law with its commandments and rules in order to create out of the two races one new people in union with himself, in this way making peace. By his death on the cross, Christ destroyed their enmity. By means of the cross, he united both races into one body and brought them back to God. So Christ came and preached the good news of peace to all, to you Gentiles who are far away from God, and to the Jews who are near to him. It is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in the one Spirit to the presence of the Father. So then, you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of the family of God. You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit. And from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30, the reading has the heading, Jesus feeds 5,000 men. The apostles returned and met with Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So he said to them, "Let's go off by ourselves to some place where we will be alone and you can rest for a while." So they started out in a boat by themselves for a lonely place. Many people, however, saw them leave and knew at once who they were. So they went from all the towns and ran ahead by land and arrived at a place ahead of Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw this large crowd and his heart was filled with pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And from verse 53, they crossed the lake and came to land at Gennesaret, where they tied up the boat. As they left the boat, people recognized Jesus at once. So they ran throughout the whole region, and wherever they heard he was, they brought to him sick people lying on their mats. And everywhere Jesus went to villages, towns, or farms, people would take those who were ill to the marketplace and beg him to let them at least touch the edge of his cloak, and all who were touched, and all who touched it were made well.
I'm sure it didn't escape your notice that we had three readings today. I thought we should hear them all, because they're all about what happens to the people of God in the world. And we are the people of God in the world in our time, so we can learn from them. The first reading was written by the prophet Jeremiah 700 years before Jesus. And he likened the people of God to a flock of sheep scattered and destroyed by false shepherds. But although the flock suffered, it did not die, because God intervened to save it. Jeremiah recorded God's promise, "I myself will gather up the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." And in the Gospel reading, we find again the image of the people of God as a vulnerable flock. Mark writes that when Jesus saw a great crowd, his heart went out to them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. For Jesus, always, the people of God is not the gathered religious community only. It is all the men and women in the world. And like Jeremiah, Jesus sees those men and women as leaderless and vulnerable, desperately in need of the intervention of God. And the third reading, from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, describes the way in which God, in the person of Jesus, intervenes to bring peace and reconciliation to people who had no hope. And the connecting theme of all three readings is our human dependence on the intervention of the Spirit of God to bring us new hope and new life. In Jeremiah, that intervention came to a remnant of the population. And it's a constant theme of the biblical writers that God works through remnants, leftover communities, rather than the big corporations. And it isn't at all difficult for us to identify with Jeremiah's talk about the people of God as a remnant, for we ourselves are a remnant. We are the peculiar remnant of the population which still goes to church. Definitely a small minority. And what do we think about being a minority? It seems to me that God has always worked through small communities. Jesus said that we were the salt of the world, a minority but essential element which makes society work, not an organization to take over the world. So we need to concentrate on the sharpness and truthfulness of our witness. Because if salt has lost its bite, it's no use at all. And we do not need to waste time in lost confidence because our numbers are small. Because we believe that God is able to do a great work through us. Last week, Leslie showed how a small number of people
had acted as whistleblowers to expose wrongdoing at great personal cost. I believe they had been moved by the Spirit of God, and that their actions were essential to the health of the organizations they worked for, and in some cases, to the safety and preservation of the human race. They showed that the Spirit of God is alive and active. Their sufferings recall the sacrifice of Jesus, reminding us that the practice of discipleship is never cheap. So we are this small community. We're called by God to reveal to everyone the secret of God's love for them. We have a vision of a better country. We have a faith which gives substance to our hopes and convinces us of realities that we do not yet see. We have been touched by the life and death of Jesus, and we are inspired by his Spirit. In the image of today's reading for St. Mark, we are among the many people who have touched the fringe of his cloak, and like all who have touched it, we have been healed. In one sense, our vision of a better country could separate us from the society we live in, because the values of that society make us feel like strangers and aliens. But the faith of Jesus does not permit us to go into our shell. Our vision, the call of Jesus to us, is to be the growing point of a new human society. The human pain and division and suffering which we see on the television every day is so great that it would certainly be more comfortable to switch off and not look at it. But we learn from Jesus that our vocation as Christians is not to escape from the tumult of the world, but to take our part in it. He was not just concerned with the individuals he met. He was concerned with all men and women across the world. As Christians, we don't believe that as the human race develops, we will grow out of our follies and learn to control our environment to achieve a safe human destiny. Nor do we believe that one day the world will be fit to live in, because people have suddenly and miraculously learned to behave unselfishly. Christian hope is more than a doubtful wishing, more than an expectation that one day things will be all right. It is trust in God and love in his family. The reality of what we hope for is made visible in the community in which the Holy Spirit acts and lives. That community, the community in which the Holy Spirit works and lives, is the circle of believers, but it is not just the circle of believers. We in KURC have seen it extended to people who have voluntarily joined with us in the foyer, in the contact centre, in other projects. And that has been a way in which we can proclaim the love of God and the salvation of Christ. The Ephesians reading today was about the hope we have been given in the life and death of Jesus. Jesus was one who lived and died for God, who died believing that God would vindicate him. His life and resurrection is his personal victory first over the powers of evil. But it also opens the gates for us. He is the first in a succession of brothers and sisters. Because he lives, we can follow his way and we can share his triumph. So Paul says that there was a time when we were without Christ, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The key words about Jesus are peace, reconciliation, and the creation of one new humanity to replace hostility and division. That message sounds innocent and unthreatening. But how do you interpret Jesus' message of peace? Peace to you who are afar off, and peace to those who are near. Good news to all men. How do you reconcile that with current policies to defend our wealth and lifestyle from the challenge of refugees and asylum seekers in Europe and across the world? The current division we need to confront in the name of the one who breaks down dividing walls must surely be the gap between the haves and the have-nots in the world, the distribution, the unequal distribution of resources for all men and women. Christianity is about hope, where many only offer survival. They do not dare to offer hope. Christianity involves us in the life of the world. It is not just a personal affair. We are called to share the compassion of Jesus for the whole world, for they are like sheep without a shepherd. Our anchor is our trust in God and our sharing in the community in which the Holy Spirit lives and acts. The God in whose presence we stand is, in Paul's words, the God who makes the dead live and calls into being things that do not exist. He can transform our weakness into his power, so that in his likeness we can become good shepherds for ourselves and for all those we meet. Keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing the hymn we haven't sung before, I think, but it's about the mystery of how Christ heals. We can discern the healing after the event, but we cannot measure how it happens. We cannot measure how you heal or answer every sufferer's prayer, yet we believe your grace responds where faith and doubt unite to care. We join together to pray for ourselves, for our friends and families, for the community in which we live, and for people across the world. God our Father, grant us the help of your Spirit when we pray for the salvation of all people. We pray for the Christian Church throughout the world and for our own church and for all its members. We pray for our faith and unity and for the witness that we give in all the places where we are. Grant that we may be constantly renewed by your Spirit for mission and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the peoples of the world. We pray for the leaders of the nations, that they may seek justice, freedom, and peace for all. We pray for the leaders of the European nations in relation to the problems of the Greek people. We remember the continuing torment of people in Afghanistan and Iraq. We bless you for the beginnings of an opening of communication between Iran and the other nations of the world. We remember the migrants who are desperate to find a new life and are at the moment creating havoc in Calais. Where they are victims as much as anything else. We pray that the leaders responsible for seeking a solution to that situation may look for justice and freedom for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our country and for all who have authority and influence in it. We pray for a balance between financial interests and justice and compassion for people in need. We pray we may seek to influence decisions made in the light of our Christian values when we have the opportunity. So that we may serve one another in wisdom, honesty, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those among whom we live and work We pray for our neighbours. That we may use your gifts so that together we may find joy in your creation. And we pray for all in sorrow, need, anxiety, or illness, especially those known personally to us. Give us the wisdom to support them, that in their weakness they may know your strength, and in despair find hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In you, Father, we are one family on earth and in heaven. We remember in your presence those who have died. And we give you thanks and praise especially for those who in their lives have revealed to us your grace in Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to the fullness of your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue our service as we make our offering. God of all goodness and grace, receive the gifts we offer, and grant that our whole life may give you glory and praise. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord." May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.